This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is producer and activist Monica Lewinsky. She's here to talk about her brand new documentary that unpacks our culture of public shaming.
I can see the physical toll, my weight fluctuating, probably like 105 pounds in that picture. The next few months was me going to counseling, me trying to figure out how to walk on American University's campus while constantly being triggered every single day that I'm there.
Monica Lewinsky, welcome to The Daily Show.
Thank you, Trevor. Nice to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Before we get into the interview, I did one of this. Does everybody call you Monica Lewinsky always?
No. I guess in a professional setting, in an interview, maybe people either do that, or I've also felt people very familiarly will call me Monica.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I'm so in that sense of being very familiar to people for a long time.
Right.
But I also get, I think the familiar thing, people stop me and ask me for directions a lot. So I think it's that.
Wait, thing. Like in the street?
Yeah. Just ran. And I think it happens to me so often that it must be because there's something in their brain that is, oh, this person is familiar to me. And they translate that as they must be nice.
Are you good at giving directions?
I think I'm good at giving directions.
I would hope you've gotten good. Because if people always ask me for directions, I would just get really good. Or I would get really good at seeming like I'm good at giving directions.
Yes.
Just so that people leave me with a sense of confidence. And then if they get lost, that's
exactly.
Not my problem.
Sort of that cruise director vibe.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
Let's talk about the reason you're on the show today. October is Bullying Prevention Month.
Yes.
Right? And one of the biggest places that bullying has moved to is online. You know, just yesterday on the show, I was talking to Tristan Harris, who I think you know.
Yes.
And he was here talking about, like, just what social media giants have been doing to inflame our ability to bully each other, to hate each other, to become polarized. You're looking at the subject from a completely different perspective, and yet the two overlap. The first question I have for you is, online bullying or bullying as a whole, how do you even begin to tackle that? Is that even a tackleable thing?
Well, I hope it is. I mean, I think that with any social problem, I think we can't give up on the idea that we can have social change and that people can change their behavior, whether it comes from understanding, whether it comes from empathy for other people, or, you know, changing the structure, let's just say social media, law, all sorts of things. So I think we can make a dent. And as you were saying, Tristan, who's in our film.
Right.
Yeah, who's actually in the film. But I think where there is a lot of overlap is that you're seeing, and with Frances Haugen, who the whistleblower.
Right, yeah.
Right, from Facebook, I think that she's talking about what's happening online already. But you can see the consequences of that, the real human consequences in our film. So that's where there really is this overlap, too, of what we're talking about with the social media companies and the landscape. And the human consequences.
You've been a part of telling the story, 15 Minutes of Shame, a new documentary film that's going to be premiering on HBO Max tomorrow. And it delves into a subject that you yourself, you refer to yourself as patient zero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say, I am the patient zero of this whole thing. And really you were, because your story blew up right when the internet was really becoming a thing. Information was flying across the globe. So my first question to you is, as a human in this, Why would you want to go back into that? Why would you want to delve back into a story that I can only assume was one of the worst periods of your life?
I think had my life unfolded differently and had there been a different path that allowed me to get back on a more normal developmental path or to get a job and move forward in life, I'm not 100% sure I'd be an anti-bullying advocate at the moment. But really what happened for me was after graduate school, I realized that I couldn't run away from what happened. Mm-hmm. I had to integrate it and I had to do a lot of work around that. And in the process of that, in that time span, it just became clear that what happened to me, and I made a mistake, but what happened to me was now happening to many other people, especially young people.
Right.
I don't want to kick into my TED talk, so which happens sometimes when I talk about this area. But so I think that it is, I think for me, it's not easy. This isn't easy for me to do, but it's important. Okay. I think it's important work. And when I hear from people that it's been meaningful, whether it's a teacher who's helped a student or something else, and that's me and everybody who's working in this space, it of course is worthwhile.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Well, you know what's really interesting about this subject for me is the concept of being shamed online is one that I feel is constantly going to evolve. In that, what I love about this film that you've helped create is you take us through the story and the journey of shaming. Mm-hmm. You know, you take us to a time before internet, before newspapers even. It's like, here we are, we're going to tar and feather people. We're going to stone people in a public square. There's always this idea of shaming the person with that punishment. But you know, as the internet has grown, the thing I've often said to people is, there was a world where it would be celebrities or people who are in some status position who will be shamed. Mm-hmm. But because of social media, it is only inevitable that everybody will achieve some level of celebrity that will then enable them to be shamed on the same level. And I feel like that's what you've started talking about in these stories, is it's gone from being presidents and actors to now just being a high school girl, to now just being a man who works in a factory, to now just being somebody who took a picture with their family and the picture was taken the wrong way. That seems like a change in how society is looking at who to bully and who to shame.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. I think that one of the factors, and we do take people through this in the film, is around the idea of how shame had been used since the beginning of time as a social tool. Mm-hmm. And when the printing press was invented, mm-hmm. it all of a sudden leapfrogged into being something that could now be commoditized.
Right.
And then once the tabloid culture bled into every area of our culture, you know, leading up to Princess Diana's death,
right.
which, you know, was a function of paparazzi live in that world,
right.
the tabloid world, right? That's where their income comes from. And so there was that moment, and that was only 5 months before 1998. So we didn't make a cultural shift. And the internet being there when 98 happened, it then grew from there. But I think what we're seeing now, too, is that this is very much about power, right? It's about, like, are there people in power who should face consequences?
Right.
Absolutely. But are there people who are not in positions of power who are facing the same consequence, and it's ruining their lives in a way that is very different? Yes to that, too. You know, and I'm not sure, I think, it, you know, so it's not only people in power, but it's also the power, too, that we have as citizens, as
right.
people, right?
To turn
with
into
the power
a mob,
of the
really.
Internet.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, you know, I don't know how you feel about cancel culture and kind of the term cancel culture, but I think it's, for me, it's just become a little too broad.
Yeah, I think when I look at it is I go, I think everyone says cancel culture, and it seems like it embodies everything.
Right.
And I go, well, sometimes it's consequences, sometimes it's criticism. And I think it has become a broad term that doesn't enable us to have better conversations about which aspects of it.
I agree, 100%.
We want to monitor. That's what I loved in the film.
Yeah.
You specifically don't just go, guys, let's not use the internet and let's not poke.
Right.
You
no.
know, let's not poke at people. You talk about all the upsides.
I think there really is a kind of a beauty and a beast to the internet.
Yeah.
And we see it with, you know, look at the social change that has happened. We call it shaming for change, but
right.
around hashtags with Me Too or Black mm-hmm. Lives Matters, mm-hmm. you know, that is that kind of power that can come from the social tool is shame as a social tool is invaluable. And that's giving a power to people who haven't had a voice for a long time
right.
to
right.
hold others accountable. But then you do have instances, you know, we have All Shades of Gray in the film, and including the clip that you showed,
right.
is somebody who never made a mistake. In fact, the opposite. She did everything that you were supposed to do and then some, and faced this just horrific, horrific white supremacist mob online.
Right.
You know, so.
But have you glimpsed even an idea of what we could do about this? Because it feels like, As the documentary shows, it feels like this is an unfortunate byproduct of being a human being. You know, it's always
there are
existed.
Lots of those, right?
Yeah, and the internet has amplified that.
Right.
And so when you look at these things, is there even like a glimmer of hope where you go like, oh, this is something that we could do?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe call me Pollyanna. I do believe there's a glimmer of hope. I have a belief in the good of people, that people can be good. Obviously, mm-hmm. they're, you know, a ton of shitheads. Am I allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah, you can
okay.
say that.
They're a ton of shitheads, but
yeah.
you know, in the world. But I think where we're going and where we're moving to and what is possible is that we try to do this in the doc. You know, the doc is supposed to be a conversation starter around these topics.
Right.
That there is, you know, there are the social media companies who, you know, if you think about an architect and an engineer, right, their job is to make sure no matter what,
yes.
No matter how beautiful the building is or functional, if people are not safe in that building, it's useless. And
right.
so they have to work better and harder and faster at making sure people are safe. But there's also the human behavior component of it. There's the chemical, the dopamine that, you know.
Yes.
And you think about, so I think those are two places where we need to see change. I think we need to see a shifting in Section 230 about mm-hmm. what the social mm-hmm. media companies are, you know, to be classified as a startup.
Right.
You know, when you're owned by some of the wealthiest men in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's, we need to find a change.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, Get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You know, one thing the documentary made me realize, and I know that I've been guilty of this as well. I've been on both sides of it. I've been publicly shamed. Like, you know, I've had my canceling moments and all of that. But I know that I've also been part of mobs. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is when you're in the mob, though, there's a disconnect between you and the human. And so you don't even realize the size of the pebble that you're throwing, because it gets combined with everyone else. So, you know, I remember back in the day, it's like, oh, Tiger Woods. And then I was like, oh, I've got a joke about Tiger Woods. I'll tweet this because it's funny. It's just me. It's by myself. And then it gets amplified, as you say.
Exactly.
And you don't realize that you have become part of a thing where, if you stepped back, if you saw somebody's life, and if you saw the mob you were part of, you may be able to go, whoa, I wasn't trying to do that to somebody. I thought it was harmless. I thought it was meaningless, but it went to one human being. And so is that like, as somebody who's experienced it, is that why it was important for you to show the people behind the stories, to understand the story holistically?
Absolutely. I think that really what felt important was for people to come to understand what happens in these shamings and what does it feel like to be on the receiving end of that tidal wave of negativity. And it's not even, it's exacerbated from being just shame, but also can be violence.
Right.
You know, so I mean, and that violence doesn't just live particularly for women. It doesn't always just live online. So I think too that there was, you know, we don't get to know these people of who they were the moment before. Mm. Whatever it is happened, right? And so I think in the same way, and I understand that, I didn't have much of a history to, you know, what happened to me in 98.
Right,
This was my first job out of college.
Right.
So there, you know, wasn't much there. But that sense of, and that is one of the really emotionally devastating experiences around having a shaming like that, is that feeling, the irony of being so seen and not being seen at all for who you truly are.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so I think that there's, and we haven't.
You spend all your time trying to claw back the you that people don't see.
Exactly.
Because they've defined you now. Everyone goes, this is who you are. And you're like, no. I grew up like this, and I have parents, and I have family, and I have friends, and I make good decisions. And you know what I mean?
Yes. And in that way, your narrative runs away from you. It's your identity is stolen. And I think you're so right about the mob mentality. You know, one of the things, I don't know, maybe it's written somewhere, but I'm sort of fascinated by this idea of, you know, did people in stoning times, did people pick up more than one stone? Or was it they threw one stone and they had the moment of seeing the person's reaction, you know, an energetic feeling of someone, you know, what it felt like to be hit by that stone?
Right.
I don't know. You know, but today with, you know, they call it the online disinhibition effect. So this sense of what happens online is that because you're dealing with a screen and not another person.
Yes.
You take on a different identity, that a lot of these behaviors and the ways that we see empathy and feel empathy are just, you're unable to see that. You're unable to feel it online.
In many ways, you know what it feels like to me sometimes is, I play video games. When I play video games, there are things that I'll do in a video game I'd never do in real life.
Right.
But it's in the video game and it happens to the other video game characters. So if I'm playing Grand Theft Auto, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna run someone over and I think it's funny. What's happened with social media is that has also become a video game of people's emotions, but there is someone on the other side.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the problem with those things is you become anesthetized to that whole, you know, that idea of that there is a person, and it becomes like if you think about. You might be too young, but Second Life, that was sort of...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I'm not that young, but thank you.
You know, Second Life is sort of this fascinating, very, to me, a very rich place of understanding human behavior online.
Right,
of that first place where it was, oh, you know, in the same way Photoshop, like Photoshop gives you this ability to say, whoever I am right now, how I look is not good enough.
Right. This is who I wish to be.
Exactly. And so I think that the minute we start divorcing ourselves from that self-reality, it not only affects us emotionally, but it also impacts how we treat and see others as well. So...
The journey you've been on, and I know we've got to wrap this up. It's I mean everyone should just watch, you know, the documentary. No, because I think it's
y'all worked really hard on it. So
yeah,
thank you.
No, but you know what I think it is. I think if we're not careful as people, we stop seeing each other as people, and then we live in a world where, you know, we take on these avatars as humans. Mm-hmm. We go after the other humans. We don't realize it's happening. And then we're all walking around with traumas and PTSDs and anxieties, and but that's not who we actually are. It's like a fake polarization that then happens. And so before I let you go, I'd love to know, as somebody who experienced arguably the greatest level of public shaming that human beings have seen, I mean, across continents, your name was uttered. I'd love to know how you figured out a way to go, like, you know what? Yeah, I am Monica Lewinsky. Yeah, everyone has made these shitty jokes about me. Yes, the whole country at some point was saying this. But you know what? I'm now going to take control of my story. I'm going to reclaim my narrative. How did you do that?
It was definitely not a straight line to that. And it was not a linear process at all. So I think that it happened... For me, it happened in stages, because also my ability to even see and understand what had happened to me and the consequences of some of those things didn't become apparent for years, for a decade. It wasn't until I got out of graduate school. I had a master's in social psychology from London School of Economics, and I couldn't get hired.
Wow.
You know, and so then I started to realize, this is a lot more damage to me, to what had happened, than I had realized at that point. And I didn't set out to reclaim my narrative. I set out to heal. And healing for me was, I mean, I would try anything. I did a lot of consciousness and energy work, but I've also had a lot of therapy. So I think it was this process. And as I changed, the world was also changing. But it eventually became, it was around seeing what was now happening, this new landscape online to other people, that made me realize, well, there may be some validity or some help. And like, if I'm the poster child for having been publicly shamed, and my life may not be great right now, but I'm still here, that might help someone. And so that sort of began the process. And it was actually the younger generations. You know, I was, Graydon Carter gave me a chance to write a first-person essay for Vanity Fair in 2014. Mm-hmm. And what that meant was I wasn't going to be defined through a journalist's eyes. Mm. I was going to define myself. I was going to say what I wanted. And it was the younger generations who insisted that the older generations, who had really been around at the time, said, whoa, let's, you know, stop and have a rethink about this situation. Not to say I shouldn't have had some blame. I certainly try to take responsibility for those things. But the idea that I bore more responsibility and more the consequences were way worse for me than they were for the most powerful man in the world and some of the other people in the scandal, all 20 years older than me, is insane.
Yeah.
So I you know, and I hope from all the projects I do with this documentary, with American Crime Story, impeachment, anything else, that it is, that it just kind of chips away at what it is that happened to me so that can't happen to someone else. Hmm.
I feel you there. I appreciate you. I really do. Thank you for taking
you.
The time.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you for making us ask a few questions about ourselves, because I think, you know, the mistake we make sometimes in society is we like to make it seem like other people are always shitty, mm-hmm. when I think we all have a little shittiness inside of us, and we don't even realize what that shittiness is or how it contributes to just, like, you know, becoming a giant rock that we're throwing at other people. So thank you for telling the story. Thank you for healing, and thank you for joining me on the show.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful having you.
Yeah, thank you.
15 Minutes of Shame will be available to stream on HBO Max October 7th.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.